It's Lisa and Pete here for the catch-up on the day when Perth held the title for the world's coldest city. Well, for a few minutes this morning anyway.
On the planet, that is. So to heat things up a bit, we crossed to the world's hottest city today, Abu Dhabi, and spoke to Elliot from Radio 1 UAE, where it was 37 degrees at 4 a.m.
Liz Creasy from Nine News brought us details on the tragic dog attack of a 58-year-old woman in Southern River, as well as an update on the dogs involved.
And what happens if a UFO crashes in the middle of Elizabeth Quay? Well, Mary Rodwell, the alien lady, is an expert in the field and answered that question, plus many more. Here are full chat right here.
New Trend IT. Big enough to handle all your business IT support needs. Small enough to care. Search New Trend IT. This is a Lisa and Pete podcast made in Perth for Perth on Mix 94.5.
Now, this morning, Perth was the coldest city in the world.
That is amazing.
Not just Australia, like the known world, any city, just pick one off the map. Coldest city was Perth. So what do we do on a day like this? We ring a place where it's the hottest city on Earth. And that's why we're catching up with Elliot from Radio 1 UAE in Abu Dhabi. Hi, Elliot.
G'day, guys. Who are we?
Oh, Elliot, when's the last time you had a 1.8 degree morning?
My aircon goes down to about 15 degrees. It's about as cold as I've got.
Is your aircon on non-stop around the clock over in Abu Dhabi?
Yeah, we get a power bill here every 6 months.
No.
Just not over 9.
Oh, yeah, you'd want to pace that one. I remember in Dubai, even the bus shelters were air-conditioned.
That's the good thing. I mean, you try and stay inside as much as possible, which means basically an excuse not to ever exercise.
Yes, exactly.
So how cold does it ever reach over there?
So our winter, if that's what you want to call it, sometimes we get down to about 27 degrees at night, which is brisk. Put a hoodie on.
That is amazing, mate.
Crazy.
That's amazing how you acclimatise, though, isn't it, putting a hoodie on in 27 degrees?
Yeah, but it's like, yeah, I mean, today, yeah, I think it's 45 degrees, which they're saying is going to feel like 57. Humidity is about 75%.
So yeah.
We're frying eggs on the pavement today.
Yeah.
Well, mate, even at those temperatures, I still feel like I couldn't ever get used to it. Do you actually get used to, you know, soaring temperatures of 50 degrees plus?
No, you really don't. It doesn't matter. You know, obviously, because it's a different culture over here, too. I'm quite heavily tattooed, so I wear long sleeves everywhere I go just to be, you know, respectful to cover that kind of stuff up.
Is there somewhere to go swimming?
Yeah, like it's surrounded by beaches and I've got a pool where I am, but if you get in, it's like getting in a warm bath. There is no escaping it. I would quite happily do the 2 degrees in Perth today, I think.
Oh, okay.
Mate, can you just tell us something warm, just to warm us up a little bit before we finish up this chat?
Yeah, no worries. At 4 a.m. this morning, it was 37 degrees.
You sleep in the buff?
I probably should.
Well, listen, from our 1.8 degree morning here to your 47,000 degree sitting next to the sun morning over there, we're sending cool thoughts your way and getting your warm thoughts, mate. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, beauty. Let's do a job swap next week. Thanks,
Well, yeah.
An exchange. That'd be great.
Okay, hang on a sec. Can we get this idea across the line?
I know. Let's try.
Why?
You want to hear Lisa and Pete from Abu Dhabi?
Yeah. I mean, look, now let's be honest. You don't really get anything out of it.
Contact your local Mix 94.5 representative now.
You listening don't get anything out of it other than to hear the usual show anyway.
Oh,
but we get a trip to Abu Dhabi.
Stuffed camel or something from the airport? Is that inappropriate?
No.
No, it's okay, good, because I brought one back from Dubai. I love him.
Oh, man. To this now, and sad news, as a woman in her 50s received life-threatening injuries from a dog at a canine boarding kennel about 1:30 p.m. yesterday. Those two dogs are now being held by the City of Gosnells Rangers. This happened at a kennel in Southern River. And for all the details, we're joined by Elizabeth Creasy from Nine News. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello.
Hi, Elizabeth. This is horrible news, especially when you read things like, you know, the Rangers had to come to get the dogs because the police couldn't even get near this poor woman's body. I understand they were her dogs, though. These weren't dogs that she was boarding.
That's right. That's what we understand. Her name was Sue Lopasich. She was a 58-year-old kennel owner here. She has quite a few dogs staying at her place at the moment. We've actually seen them today. But from what we understand, these were her two dogs. She was walking a number of them around 1:30 yesterday. something's happened, and unfortunately the bull mastiff has attacked her and left her with these awful fatal injuries. We understand it was her daughter who then made the discovery, found her there and was then forced to call in police.
That's awful.
How old are these dogs, Elizabeth? And the reason why I ask this question is, I'd like to know, are they young dogs? It just seems really unusual to me that they would turn on their owner if she's owned them for quite some time.
Yeah, she's had them for quite some time. They're not puppies by any means. I don't know how old they are exactly, but they're definitely not puppies. There has been some talk that potentially the dogs themselves got into a fight, but we just don't know those sorts of details yet. We don't want to take a guess at why it happened, but we have had confirmation this afternoon that it was the bull mastiff that police believe attacked her, because there were two dogs that were taken in by the council. They were both male dogs. One was a bull mastiff and the other was a bull terrier. And literally moments ago, we just got confirmation that it was the bull mastiff and it will actually now be put down.
I read that the neighbour said, although there'd been no complaints about the dogs and he didn't hear anything, he said the dog was known to be aggressive. It had to be locked up if anyone came over.
Yes, so we have spoken to neighbours today and at least one neighbour has said that the dog itself was quite aggressive. But speaking with council, they've had no complaints about any of these dogs in the past. Mm-hmm. They say anything like this would actually come to them and they would have to assess whether a dog is aggressive or not. And they've had no records of that at all. But given that they are dogs that were given up for a refuge, you can only imagine that they have potentially had a bad past or a bad upbringing, and there would be behavioural issues there.
And they are huge, powerful dogs.
Yeah,
I mean,
they
can't help their own size, I guess, in the end.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm not sure if you've seen any of the video footage today.
Yes,
but
we have.
Yeah, we have.
You can see he's quite a large dog. So, I mean, when a dog like that attacks you, what can you do?
Exactly.
You know, they are large dogs.
Yeah.
Now, this being a boarding kennel in Southern River, obviously there were other dogs there at the time. Is the place being shut down for the time being and people coming to collect their dogs from the boarding kennel?
We haven't seen any of that sort of activity today. What we have seen, though, is friends and relatives of Sue's come over. They were actually caring for the dogs at one stage. So I can only assume that there will be someone to help look after these dogs if they are staying here, because if their owners are on holiday, you can't just...
Exactly. It's not an easy situation.
Someone has to look after them.
Yeah.
But this whole neighbourhood is actually sectioned off for kennels. So there are a lot of kennels around, and we've seen some of the neighbours come down this afternoon and put flowers on the front porch and at the front door. So
it's a pretty tight little community there, yeah.
Yes, and they were saying they, even if they didn't necessarily know her that well, she was really well respected and really well liked in the community.
All right, well, Elizabeth, all the details tonight on Nine News. Thank you for your time.
No worries.
See ya.
Elizabeth Creasy there. Just following up those details, a woman in her 50s. Received life-threatening injuries from a dog at a canine boarding kennel about 1:30 yesterday. She passed away, unfortunately. Those two dogs are being held by the City of Gosnells Rangers, one of which I believe is moments away from being put down as we speak.
Well, what can you do?
Yep. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Lisa and Pete.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Yep.
So you're ready to take a little step down the rabbit hole, are you?
Pete lives down there.
I am.
And I'm ready.
Yes. For a long time, I've had this ladder, which has sort of let me go into the rabbit hole and then come back out, but I am ready to just dive in and just let it swallow me, Mary.
Right. Well, it's an interesting journey.
Yeah.
Just watch out what might actually swallow you.
Well, so let's,
that's what life is, an interesting journey.
Indeed. And let's bring people in on exactly what we're going on about here. See, Mary Rodwell is recognised internationally as one of Australia's leading researchers and writers in the UFO and contact phenomenon areas. You research and support people with paranormal experiences. Is that right?
That is indeed right. And paranormal covers a lot of ground.
It certainly does. And by the way, it's not lost on me that you're one letter away from Roswell.
Yes.
Oh, don't do it. I've called Mary Roswell too many times. Thank you very much.
Yes. Easy mistake.
Now, you've written many books and your latest book is The New Human, which describes and documents star children, which is out now. Before we get to, and I can't wait to hit you with the question I'm so excited to hit you with, but just in a moment, what is a star child?
Well, it's someone who relates to, if you like, ancestors from the stars, you know, that they feel they were, you know, they're more cosmic than they are human.
Okay.
For a simple explanation for it, that they feel they're not from here, and that they're connected to the star visitors that have visited this planet for millennia.
And this may manifest itself in many different ways, right?
Absolutely. There's always that sense of not feeling like you belong, feeling very different, feeling like you don't quite understand humans because they're pretty barbaric and pretty primitive. That's one of the things that they sense.
Mary, you just described me.
Yeah.
Well,
I often feel that way.
Yeah. Well,
I have said that people verify this for many years. I've said I believe we're on some sort of intergalactic game of, you know, candid camera. And one day a big finger's going to come down and go, ha, 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 you didn't think that was all real, did you?
Well, you could very well be spot on as far as we know.
Look, we could get really deep into this as far as, you know, even experts from the science fields around the world who have slowly gotten on board by identifying things in our DNA that don't quite make sense. And, I mean, for me, Mary, as I let myself just get deeper and deeper into this, like the pyramids, for one, for me, is something that blows my mind because of when they were built, how they were built, and exactly how mathematically accurate every point of the pyramid
actually
is.
But not just the pyramids, Pete. A lot of those amazing things around the Earth do add up to some kind of calculation when looked at from space.
Exactly.
Well, a lot of these new star kids that I talk about, the ones that even under 10, tell me about how they understand the pyramids were actually built by our ancestors, but not the human ones, the ones that visited the planet, like cat people. One 8-year-old told me, and that the stones were levitated into place. They were not hauled there as the way that we're taught in conventional Egyptology.
Right.
Well, you see, you know, the Sphinx, the statues, Anubis with the famous face of the cat. Like it's, know, and how cats in Egyptian mythology are so well revered.
And
as well,
kids under 10 are so much more open to this sort of thing before they're sort of conditioned out of it.
Well, they're not front-loaded. They don't read they don't watch the talk shows and they don't read the books. And when they come up with stuff like, you know, changing the density structure of objects large and small and levitating them into place, and as a 5-year-old explaining it like that, you have to say, now, how on earth does a 5-year-old come up with that kind of information?
You do indeed.
There are some things that are just, you just cannot explain. But look, Mary, we've been meaning to get in contact with you for a while because was it the 47th anniversary of Roswell?
That was more than that.
It was a big anniversary of Roswell not too long
60th
ago.
60th or something.
Right, the Roswell crash, right?
That's right, it was 50 years.
Thank you. And the thing that popped into my head was I wanted to know, right, if something like that were to happen, if aliens came down from space in their spaceship or there was a crash that was just too public eye for us for it to be kept a secret. Is there a protocol that the government already has in place to deal with such a thing?
Absolutely. They've had it for, you know, 70 or 80 years because there's been crash craft, you know, before Roswell. There were crash craft earlier in the 40s and in the 30s. And they even say that the Nazis had a crash craft and that's why they had these advanced technologies. I think somebody quoted about 70 plus crashes around the globe over the years. So, yes, of course they do. And they make sure that this all gets well-oiled and put into place whenever there is a craft. And the military just come in and they remove it.
So it was a weather balloon or something. I've heard that they have already all agreed that they will not tell us because it would cause, well, I don't know what it would cause, but they're not going
to
tell us.
I feel it would cause us to question everything about our existence. Like it would rewrite everything that we have thought, you know.
They don't like us to think too much.
Christianity, Buddhism.
It would rewrite history.
Yes, it would.
Religions around the world. I think it would rewrite everything about everything we've ever known from the time we were born.
Absolutely.
Everything. And that's what's so difficult for people who have experiences because it's a reality for them in the end. And, you know, how is it like to be in a planet where nobody believes you?
Awful,
You know, that's what happens. And I mean, I've had at least 3 calls today, one from the States and one from England and also here.
Really?
That have had these experiences. This is in just one day. you know, explaining to me how isolated they feel. Often they can't talk to people around them. Mm. You know, everyone thinks they're crazy. Just imagine what that's like.
And yet most people seem to agree that considering what we know of the universe is so minute and there's so much more out there, that we would be supremely arrogant to think that we were the only things.
Yeah.
Most people tend to agree with that, but then if you tell them something happened, they'll say you're mad.
Well, even the astrophysicists are saying there are billions of life-bearing planets out there now. They're admitting that. NASA's admitting that.
Yep.
But the mere fact they're still trying to say is, but visiting our planet, is many light years away. They still are arrogant enough to think that perhaps they might not be as advanced as that they can't already have had technology that isn't a problem.
Yes.
Oh, wow, it's amazing. It is just such a can of worms to open up and think
sure
about.
Sure is.
And Mary, if say, for example, I'm thinking back here to Perth, say, for example, a spacecraft were to crash in the middle of broad daylight on a busy afternoon in the city, right, or at Elizabeth Quay or something like that, and it is not something that you can just wipe away and bring the tanks in and all that sort of stuff, or, you know, get Will Smith out to pull out his little blinding flashlight and say, no, this is actually what happened. Like, do you know what the government would do in a situation like that?
They would probably say there would be some sort of terrorist attack.
Yep.
And they would explain it by saying, and there's poison gas or there's poison something or other being let into the air. You can't go near it. We're having to completely enclose it. And anyone who knows different will, of course, be shut up.
Yeah.
Because they're really very good at that. They've only got to threaten your family and you will shut up. And this is what's happened time and time again.
We'll say we were testing some kind of fantastic new aircraft, you know, for
it's so easy. And people are, sadly, very gullible.
Oh,
you know, they actually still believe what the government tells them.
Yes.
Which to me is quite amusing, really,
mm-hmm.
because I think anyone with half a brain says, you know, are you still actually believing, you know, what you're being told? Oh, this sounds terrible, doesn't it? But, you know.
Wow. This is how they keep us under control,
Mary, I just got one more thing, because we are running out of time here, but I have one more thing that talk to you about, and it's the fact that there is a belief that we are slowly, unknowingly being groomed for whether it be a higher purpose or whether it be to take that next step and, you know, shift into our next level of evolution or something like that. Have you seen or heard of examples where this is the case?
Absolutely. And the surveys that we're doing with an academic organization called FREE, we found 85% after contact, this is 4,000 surveyed, 85% found that they had a spiritual transformation, a psycho-spiritual transformation. That's 85% of 4,000 people have said this. Now, what's that telling you?
That's a lot of people.
It
it's
is.
Excited, Pete, no end.
Yes, it really has. This stuff just blows my mind. And I don't think there's anything wrong with being able to explore this sort of stuff and think about it and have discussions about it. And, you know, because at the end of the day...
Well, look at the stories we believe in religion. How can it be any different when it's...
Yeah, the universe is full of possibilities. There's too much stuff going on for us to just discredit and just leave this behind. So, Mary, look, an absolute pleasure. And thank you for letting us contact you and have a bit of a yarn about this question that's been bandied around this show, all right?
Oh, look, it's an absolute pleasure anytime.
We want to know, have you had an alien encounter? This coming off the back of our chat with Mary Rodwell, who is an expert in this and into the psychology of it. She's actually somebody that a lot of people around the world contact if they have had an alien encounter.
I don't think she has had an alien encounter herself.
No.
But she is a clinical hypnotherapist and psychologist. She's a fascinating woman, and the whole extended chat you'll find on the catch up tonight.
Christy in Thornley.
Hi, Christy.
Tell us about your alien encounter.
It was going back quite a few years ago now when we lived in Bicton.
Yep.
My nan and I were outside. It was early morning, so sort of like 6:30.
Yeah.
And we thought it was a star, and it got really bright and then like faded to near nothing. It got really bright again, and sort of Nan and I looked at each other, and then all of a sudden just vanished.
Oh.
So I was like, yeah, it's an aliens. And my Nan's like, no, it's not.
No.
Straight up, no, it doesn't happen like that. So, but yeah, I still think it was a spaceship.
Well, it stayed with you. until this day. So,
does your nan work for the government by any chance?
No, but I'm a big believer. So.
Yeah. We used to see, you don't see it so much now. I don't know if it's too bright out there or what, but you'd see the satellites moving across.
Yeah,
but when you
yeah.
see something like what Chrissy's describing, it's entirely different.
Yeah.
Yeah, this didn't move. It just sort of one spot and went brighter.
Wow.
And then, so, yeah.
And there are all sorts of explanations for it as well. Like,
Big universe out there.
Yeah, and I've heard that being described as a weather phenomenon called ball lightning.
Really?
Yeah. I kid you not,
okay.
Right?
So, well,
you know.
I guess that's possible too.
It is possible, but off the back of what, you know, you've mentioned before and what we were talking about, like the government always saying, there's always an explanation for it in case something happened.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're all agreed around the world. If aliens land, they're not going to tell us because you could imagine the chaos.
Oh, yeah. Sue in Rockingham, tell us about your encounter.
Hello. Well, mine was back in the UK when I was about 15 years old.
Yep.
I used to go to a youth club a couple of nights a week.
Okay.
And it started at 7 o'clock and finished at 9. And I was walking up to the youth club. I was only about 2 or 3 minutes away from it, around the corner.
Yep.
And I got to the top of the hill, and I remember, all I can remember is I looked up and there was this big circle of lights hovering over the house.
Oh,
and I thought
heavens.
To myself, what the heck's that? And that's all I can remember thinking. And then I went round the corner, got to the school, and everybody was coming out of the school. Mm. Then where have you been? And I'd lost two hours of my life.
No!
Yeah. Wow!
Yeah.
Oh,
so I've got goosebumps!
Oh,
you
see,
lost
you know, you
2 hours.
You tell people and they just look at you like you're dead.
I know, I know.
I have the odd believer. But I would take it.
We tend to fear what we can't understand, don't we?
No,
Sue?
I know.
Wow.
Now, Mary, when we spoke to Mary, she mentioned that people who had encounters, even though they may not, you know, remember anything about them, talk about experiences like what you've had and missing time and stuff. But they also say that, you know, they sort of get a feeling about themselves. Did you have a feeling about yourself not long after that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No?
No, I think so. All I can remember is seeing this big circle of light, and that's it.
Right, okay.
Nothing at all after that.
Jeez,
going to the school when everybody's coming out and saying,
Wow.
The missing 2 hours thing is freaky. Mike in Hocking, finish this up, mate. Have you had an encounter?
Yes, I have, mate.
What happened?
Well, in 1971, I was working for a drilling company, or a seismic drilling company, up north, about 300 k's out in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all sand dune country. And we're drilling away anyway. The vehicle broke down. There's three of us in the vehicle. And we decided, you know, the light's fading, but we were on the track. So we'll walk back to camp, and we crossed each ridge of sand dunes, and then all of a sudden we saw a light, so we thought, oh yeah, the crew's coming for us because we're not back at base camp.
Mm.
So we got to the top of the ridge, and all of a sudden there's this absolute bright light, and it was circular.
Mm-hmm.
But you couldn't really depict the exact object itself. It was that bright.
Yeah, yeah.
So the three of us stood there on the ridge looking at this, and we looked at each other and said, hang on a minute, there's something wrong here. This is not earthly. It's got to be something from another planet. And we had a bit of a laugh in that. And then all of a sudden, whether they saw us or they, you know, whatever happened, they just, this thing just took off out of the desert. Because it was down in the gully.
Yeah.
And it just took off and just went boom, and it was gone.
Yeah.
And we looked at each other and said, we can't tell anyone.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Oh, Mike. Yeah, because it's the sort of thing where nobody believe you. You know,
that's right. Do you remember a movie called Fire in the Sky? It was a true story based on a book by a kid called Travis Walton, who says that he was abducted by aliens and he was gone for 5 days.
Wow.
And then came wandering back out of the bush. That's a fascinating one, or the bush, wherever it was in America.
Thanks for sharing your stories with us, by the way.
Incredible.
Lisa and Peter, Mix 94.5.
Take Pete.
Yeah.
Yes, please, take me.
Mix 94.5's Lisa and Pete, made in Perth. Join them weekday arvos from 4 on Mix 94.5. From proactive monitoring of your systems and the most advanced cybersecurity management, search New Trend IT. Open from 6 a.m. They're ready when you are.